Lord, we praise you. We praise you that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We praise you, Jesus, that at your name, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that you are Lord. And Jesus, we acknowledge that. We exalt you. We pray that you'd be exalted in our lives, our words, our thoughts, our actions. I pray that for every person here, 2018 will be a year that we totally live for Jesus and that we experience the life that you've come to give us, resurrection life, and we shine that light of Christ and we give that life away to others. I pray for Crossline Church that this will be a year that we see miracles happen and that we see the name of Jesus exalted all over Orange County and all over the world. And I pray, God, for every person who is here this morning, that this morning we might cast all our anxieties on you. This morning we might cast all of our burdens on you. This morning we might take your invitation, Jesus, and find rest for our souls. And I pray that we'd leave here today with a deep soul satisfaction that it's been good to be in the house of the Lord, to worship the Lord, and to receive your word into our lives, to be strengthened by the fellowship of believers, and to experience the Holy Spirit transforming us to become more like Jesus. May that be a reality, we pray. And I ask for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. God bless you. God bless you. You could take a seat. Yeah, let's give the Lord a praise offering. Well, God is doing great things, and I fully believe that this is going to be a tremendous year for our church and for those of us who are committed here at Crossline to seek the Lord together. We're beginning a new series this morning called Gospel Centered, and it's based on the book of Philippians. We're going to take the next 6 weeks to talk about how the gospel is the central theme of everything that God is doing and how the gospel can be the central theme of our lives. Because everybody builds their life on something, you know? Maybe we think about it intentionally, or maybe we just kind of, by default, live our lives, but upon reflection, we can see what it is that we're really living on. There's a guiding focus to our lives. There's a direction. There's a center. There's a foundation. The question is it the foundation that God wants to be built in us? Is it the foundation that God has established for it? Is it the center that God says ought to be the center of every person's life? And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Mark's rendition and description of the life of Jesus, the gospel of Mark, he opens it in Mark chapter 1 saying, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then when he describes Jesus coming out of that experience of being baptized by John the Baptist and describes what Jesus began to do, the first thing that Mark says is that Jesus preached repentance for the gospel of the kingdom. And then at the end of Mark's gospel, in Mark chapter 16, as it comes to a close, he has Jesus giving the Great Commission saying, go therefore and preach the gospel to all creation. So the beginning and the culmination of the life of Jesus Christ on earth was the gospel. When you look at the book of Acts and you see the church unfolding and the Holy Spirit being poured out, on the first day, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit poured out upon those believers, and what they spoke in the city of Jerusalem was the gospel of Jesus Christ. At the end of the book of Acts, you have the Apostle Paul in a Roman prison cell awaiting his appeal before Caesar, and you have Paul, as people come to visit him in that Roman prison cell, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Gentile and also to the Jew. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that comes by faith. In the book of Philippians that we're going to be looking at over the next several weeks, over and over and over again, the Apostle Paul comes back to the gospel as the foundation for our lives. The gospel as the center of our lives. I'm going to be challenging us as a church to be gospel-centered. To be gospel-centered in our relationship with God. To be gospel-centered in our marriages. to be gospel-centered in our parenting, to be gospel-centered in our work, to be gospel-centered in our recreational life, to be gospel-centered in our goals, to be gospel-centered in our priorities, to be gospel-centered in the direction of our lives, because that's what God says is the main thing. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning as a guest, this is a safe place to hear a life-transforming message, a message about the gospel that will change your life, because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. And this is what Paul says as he begins this book. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It's right for me to feel this way about you all, since I have you in my heart, and whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. This morning, what I want to talk about is gospel-centered prayer. Gospel-centered prayer. How we ought to pray because the gospel has changed our lives, and especially how we ought to pray for others, because the gospel has changed our lives and the gospel can change their lives. And when we understand how the gospel defines the way we pray for other people, our prayers can have impact. Our prayers can literally be the means by which God changes people's lives. Amen. So this morning, we're talking about gospel-centered prayer. And I've got three observations from the passage of Scripture. Here's the first one. It may be kind of obvious, but it's important that we put it into practice. Shared experiences in the gospel lead to greater intimacy of relationship. Shared experiences in the gospel lead to greater intimacy of relationship. That's what Paul's talking about here as he's writing to this church at Philippi. You see, in Acts chapter 16, Paul was led by the Spirit to the city of Philippi. He began to preach the gospel. He was thrown into jail because he was preaching the gospel. God did a supernatural work, bringing an earthquake about that freed all the prisoners. The head of the jail, the Philippian jailer, seeing that all the prisoners were going to leave, was going to kill himself. Paul stopped him, shared the gospel with him. His life was transformed. His family was transformed. They all gave their lives to Christ, and a revival broke out in the city of Philippi. And from that day forward, the believers at Philippi participated in the life and ministry of Paul. They participated through their prayers. They participated through their financial support. Just like we're financially supporting Sim to be a missionary in Haiti, the church at Philippi financially supported the Apostle Paul as a missionary. In fact, at the end of the book of Philippians, Paul says, "There was no other church like you Philippians, because you faithfully and consistently supported me and met my needs through your prayers and financial support." And then Paul says, "And my God is able to meet and provide all of your needs through his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." That promise comes in the book of Philippians as Paul is talking to a church that had participated with him in the gospel. So here, as he's making his introduction in Philippians chapter 1, he's talking about the intimacy of relationship. But the reason the relationship was so intimate was that it had its center in the gospel. When we share life together around Christ with people, it bonds us like no other type of experience. You know, one of the great things about Facebook is you can reconnect with people that you haven't seen in a long time, that you've kind of lost touch with. I've reconnected with a bunch of my high school buddies, guys I played football with. And we send messages back and forth by Facebook. And we share a certain bond because we grew up together and we had some life experiences together. And it's a real bond, and I don't want to minimize it in any way. But it's nothing like the bond that I have with people that I've shared the gospel with, that I've served the Lord with, that I've worshiped with, that I've prayed with, that I've been in the trenches with around what really matters, the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we build our relationships around the gospel, it forges an intimacy. That's why husbands and wives, one of the most important things that you can do is to pray together, serve the Lord together, be partners together in the gospel, because it will form your relationship at the deepest core of who you are in your spirit, and then in your soul, and then in your body. And that's why the intimacy that can be formed around a relationship with Jesus Christ is like no other type of intimacy. Paul's talking to these folks at Philippi that maybe from a standpoint of time exposure, he didn't actually spend tons of time with. He had the initial meeting of them when he was at Philippi. But after that, it wasn't like they spent a whole lot of time together, but they corresponded back and forth. They prayed back and forth. They prayed for each other. They financially supported the work of Paul. And because the foundation of their relationship was the gospel, there was a deep spiritual intimacy. You know, I was thinking about this biblical truth here that Paul is talking about, and even today with Sim being here, in terms of the actual hours, it's not like Sim and I have spent tons of time together. But whenever I'm in Haiti, we're together, and we're not just hanging out watching movies or talking about football. We're preaching the gospel together. We're training pastors together. We're sharing God's word to God's people together. We're talking together and praying together about how we can reach Haiti for Christ. There's a bond that I have with Sim that I don't have with a lot of people, because our relationship is built around the gospel. When we build a relationship with people around the gospel, it connects us at the most intimate level. So as we think about our marriages, as we think about our parenting, as we think about our relationships with people in the church, as we think about our commitment to one another in small groups, the more we build our relationship around the gospel of Jesus Christ, the deeper the level of our intimacy. Now, you might be asking, that's an awesome truth. What does it have to do with prayer? Well, here's my second point. The greater the intimacy of relationship, the greater the prayer impact. The greater the intimacy of the relationship, the greater the prayer impact. Paul says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In every prayer, I pray for you. See, the focus of this passage, as Paul is relating the gospel to his life, is how the gospel influenced the way he prayed for the people at Philippi. The more connected we are with people, the more we know how to pray for them. The more connected we are with people, the more burden we have to pray for people. The more connected we are for people, the more passionate we are when we pray for them. So our prayers for the people that we are spiritually connected to because of the gospel aren't just, oh, well, God bless you, be warm, be filled. No, we're praying for them at a heart level, and at a conviction level, and at a passion level that is born out of the spiritual intimacy we have with them. The greater the intimacy of relationship, the greater the prayer impact. Paul says, I'm always praying for you. I remember you all the time. I thank God for you. This was an ongoing relationship of prayer that Paul had for the people of Philippi. And he says, I thank God for you, and I pray with joy every time I pray for you. See, when you are spiritually connected with someone and you really love that person from the heart, when you think about them, you kind of get a smile on your face. In fact, I actually said that to a buddy of mine. I know it's maybe kind of weird for guys to talk to other guys like that, but I was talking about a buddy of mine. Kenny knows who he is, John Shepherd. And I sent John a text because I was just having a thought about him. John was a guy who was in a Bible study along with Kenny and a group of other guys back at UCLA years ago. And I said, John, I just was thinking about you. And every time I think about you, I get a smile on my face. Do you know people like that? You just think about him and it just makes you smile. Because, man, what an awesome guy. Oh, man, what a great gal. Or, oh, my gosh, just thank you, Lord, that they're in my life. Thank you that they're my husband or my wife. Thank you that they're my child. Thank you that they're my friend. Thank you, Lord, that they're my pastor. Thank you, Lord, that this person is a brother and sister in Christ. It makes you smile when you think about them. That's what Paul was saying as he was writing to this church at Philippi, writing back to them. He's in a Roman prison cell, by the way. And yet he's writing a letter of great optimism and confidence and joy because his life was centered on the gospel. And so here's Paul in prison, but he's writing to encourage the people at Philippi. And so he says, I'm praying for you. And let me tell you, I'm not only praying for you, when I'm thinking about you as I'm praying for you, I got a smile on my face. Because I have joy from the relationship that we share together. The greater the intimacy of relationship, the greater the prayer impact. And what Paul says here is he says, I'm mindful of some things. Not only mindful about you, but mindful about God. See, impacting prayers are prayers that come out of an intimacy of relationship with people. We know the people, so we know how to pray for them. But we know God, so we know what God wants to do in them. He says, I'm confident that he who began a good work in you is going to complete it until the day of Christ. So as we pray for people, we're thanking God for the work that God began in them, and we're praying for the completion of that work in their lives. And we know what that means practically because we're intimately connected to them. See? One of the most powerful things we can do for people is pray for them. One of the most loving things we can do for people is pray for them. One of the most aligning things that we could do where we align our will with God's will is to pray for people. Because only heaven will reveal how the course of our lives, which we on our part think I'm making my own decisions and I'm just kind of doing what I'm doing, but from God's part, God has ordained our lives and we're actually stepping into the steps that he's already ordained, and then the mechanism by which we made a choice, which was God's choice for us, was someone else praying for us. Is that powerful? Think about it. We live our lives thinking, I'm making my own choices. God, as the sovereign, omnipotent one, has already ordained the path he has for us, but the mechanism by which my choice is the choice that God has determined for me is someone praying for me to follow the Holy Spirit. See, there are people praying for Sim to follow the Holy Spirit. He heard the voice of God. He made his own decision, but his decision was the decision God had determined for him. And what led him to be able to decide it is people praying for him. We get to do that for our husbands and wives. We get to do that for our children. We get to do that for our neighbors. We get to do that for the people in our small group. We get to do that for our missionaries. We get to do that for one another as we enter into prayer for people. And the prayer that has the most impact is the prayer that comes out of a deep relationship. And the deep relationship comes out of shared gospel experiences. So it flows. We share in the gospel together, and out of that we develop an intimacy in our relationship. And out of the intimacy of our relationship, we pray with impact for people. Paul says, I joyfully give thanks. I pray with confidence that he who began a good work in you will complete it. So his prayer is regular and his prayer is confident and his prayer is joyful. See, this kind of prayer flows out of an intimate relationship. Even before Crossline began its formal worship services, Tony Jonas and I have been prayer partners. We prayed virtually together every week of Crossline's entire history. You pray that much with someone, you develop an intimacy of relationship. You get to know someone's heart when you really pray together with them. I've come to trust in Tony's prayers because I've seen and heard and experienced the spiritual connection that he has with God. And so when I pray for him, and I know when he prays for me, it's coming out of that confidence that he who began a good work in us is going to complete it into the day of Christ. Are there people like that in your life that are praying for you, and you have the confidence in their prayers for you, which gives you confidence in what God's going to do in your life because that person's praying for you? Are you that kind of person for other people? You're intimately connected to them because you shared in gospel ministry together with them, and you know how to pray for them, and you know what God is doing for them, and you're actually the person that's inspiring them to keeping on, because they know you're praying for them. That's what Paul's talking about here. There's power in intercessory prayer. And it's built upon the intimacy of relationship, and the intimacy of relationship is established because of the gospel. So the greater the intimacy of relationship, the greater the prayer impact. And then here's the third and really the kicker of this. Our prayers have great impact when we pray scriptural truths into people's lives. Our prayers have great impact when we pray scriptural truths into people's lives. See, we are to pray for God-revealed spiritual outcomes. You know, God hears every prayer, you know. I pray I get a parking place out in Winchell's because I got to have a glazed donut. Okay, you know, it's the desire of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. I pray my son, who has a 2.0 C average, will get into Harvard. Okay, well, that's a prayer. You can pray it. I pray that, you know, I'll, whatever. You know, you can pray for whatever. And God hears every one of our prayers. But the prayers that with certainty have spiritual impact is when we pray God's word into people's lives. Because now we're aligning our request with what God says he's prophetically committed to doing. When we pray for the God-revealed spiritual outcomes that God himself has made known, we're praying God's will into reality. The prayer that Paul prays here for the Philippians was the will of God for their lives. Paul was just the human means by which the Philippians and God would get connected so that what God wanted to do would be done in their lives. So what does he pray? He says, and this is my prayer. This is profound biblical interpretation, by the way. This is my prayer. I wonder what it is that he's praying for. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. In this prayer, it's revealed the spiritual outcomes that God wants to produce in our lives. See, these were the spiritual outcomes he wanted to produce in the lives of the Philippians, but these scriptures have been written down. So these words are the inspired words and messages of God, not only for the Philippians, but for every believer in Jesus Christ. In other words, when I pray this prayer for someone, I'm praying God's will into their life. And according to 1 John 5, 14 and 15, it says this, and this is the confidence that we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us, and if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the requests that we've asked from him. So when you pray according to God's will, you can have confidence that not only did God hear you, but God's going to do it because you prayed according to his will. Well, these scriptures are God's will. So now track with me the Holy Spirit logic of the passage. You build your life around the gospel with people, you become really intimate with them. And because you're really intimate with them, you know how to pray for them in a way that'll have impact. And the way you pray for them that'll have impact is when you pray God's will into their lives. You want to be the human instrument to change the lives of your children, your spouse, your friends, the people in this church, the people around the world. Pray God's will into their lives. Be an intercessory prayer warrior so that God will actually use your prayers to transform someone's life. That's what God did here with Paul and the Philippians, and it was based on the gospel. So what does he pray for? What is it God wants us to be praying for people? What are the spiritual outcomes? Well, first of all, that their love would abound more and more. More and more love, greater love, increasing love. And not just any kind of love, but more and more love that's in knowledge and depth of insight. So an abounding love that's characterized by knowledge and depth of insight. The word knowledge here is the Greek word epignosis. It means the most intimate kind of experiential knowledge. Not just the stuff that you learn from reading a book, but the stuff that you learn from life experience. The real practical kind of working on the street knowledge. So Paul's praying that these Philippian believers would have a love, not a naive love, but a love that had real spiritual knowledge behind it and depth of insight. And the word depth of insight is a word that means discernment or perception or understanding. So Paul is praying for these believers to have an ever-increasing love that's knowledgeable and discerning in its understanding of how to give itself away to people. That's one of the things we should be praying for one another, to have that kind of love, that Spirit-imparted love, that because it's the Spirit who imparts it to us, it has real knowledge and real discernment, real perception, real understanding behind it. Paul says, I pray that you will be able to discern what is best. He uses the Greek word dokimazo, which means to test after approval. So he's praying that we'll have this love that's knowledgeable and perceiving, it's insightful, so that we can test all the choices, test all the options, test all the paths, and approve what's God's will, what's the best. A love that'll lead you into doing what's the best option that God has for you. I pray that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight so that you may be able to discern what is the best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. He's talking about our character. Having a character that's pure and blameless. The word pure is an interesting word here in Greek. It's the Greek word hylakrinos, which really means judged by the sun's rays. Well, how do you get a word that literally means judged by the sun's rays to be translated in English as pure? This was a word that was used in the pottery industry. So I got, you know, I operate Joe's Pottery Shop, and I make all kinds of potteries, pots, vases, all kinds of things. And then I drop one, and it cracks. So what I do is I take a colored wax, and I put the colored wax in the cracks so you can't see it. And you think it's, you know, pure, spotless. But I set it outside, and the sun's rays hit it and starts to melt the wax, and you see it's not spotless. It actually has cracks in it and flaws in it. So to have a character that's been tested or judged by the sun's rays is to have a character that doesn't have a bunch of cracks. It's a character that's pure, that's authentic, that's sincere. That word sincere, it's the Latin version of that same Greek word. It's the Latin word sincera, without wax. That's what God wants us to be. The real deal. What you see is what you get. Not a bait and switch kind of Christian, but the real deal. The good, the bad, and the ugly, but being transformed by Jesus Christ with a flawless character that's being authentic before God. That's what Paul was praying for these believers. They had a love that's abounding more and more, not just any kind of love, but a love that's knowledgeable and insightful, the kind of love that can choose God's best, and the kind of love that's absolutely pure, authentic, without wax. Even unto the day of Christ. And then he says, and filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. That kind of love, and the way this is phrased in Paul's prayer is that kind of love that's knowledgeable and discerning, that chooses the best, that's pure and blameless, because it's been filled up with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You might be saying at this point, well, JP, you're adding a bunch of spiritual talk here. What's your point? The point is, what Paul prays for these Philippians is spiritual transformation, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in their life, God's will to be realized in their life, the fullness of Christ in their life. See, we can pray anything and everything for people, and we ought to. But I think if many of us were honest, the things that we pray about most of the time are not the spiritual outcomes that God wants to produce. See, we pray about a good job. We pray about making more money. We pray about, you know, being happy, and we pray about getting a good house, and we pray about that deal on the car will come through so I can really make that. And we pray about all kinds of things. Should we pray about those things? Yes. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. But stop and think, how much of our praying for our spouse, our kids, our pastors, the people in our small group, the people that we are invested in, how much of our praying is that the Holy Spirit would produce the life of Jesus in them? How much of our praying is that they will be transformed with the fruit of the Holy Spirit? How much of our praying is that they'd be fully equipped with the armor of God to live victoriously in Jesus Christ? How much of our praying is that the resurrection life of Jesus would be released in and through them? How much of our praying is that they would do the greater works of Jesus as they manifest the fruit of the Spirit and the love of Christ and the authority of Christ in their lives? How much of our praying is for the spiritual outcome that God has revealed in his word that he wants to produce in us and through us? See, that's the way that Paul's prayer is directed here in Philippians chapter 1. Yesterday, I got a text from my son, Pastor Taylor, and it says, Dad, I was just praying for you this morning, and this is what I prayed. I pray that you would enjoy the Lord in your life and ministry, that you would have vision and wisdom from the Holy Spirit, that God would heal you and bless you, and that you and Mom's marriage would be fully centered on Jesus Christ. See, that's a prayer focused on spiritual outcomes. That's the kind of prayers that are mentioned all over the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 3. Colossians chapter 1. Romans chapter 15, they are prayers that are already written out for us. So if we're not really sure how to pray for these spiritual outcomes, just pray these prayers. They're already written for us. If you're not really sure how to pray for someone, pray what Paul prayed in Philippians chapter 1. Pray that prayer, because those are the spiritual outcomes that God wants to produce. So let me take us back through Philippians 1, the spiritual logic of the passage. The more you build your life around the gospel with someone, the more intimate you have a relationship with them. The more intimate of a relationship, the more impactful your prayers can be for that person. And the kind of prayers that will really impact someone is when you pray for the spiritual outcomes, the scriptures, the will of God, praying that into their lives. See, God wants us to be a people of prayer, not just for ourselves, but for one another. Intercessory prayers. Can you think of the power that would be released if every one of us here began to pray for one another? To pray for our pastors, to pray for our missionaries, to pray for people that God would do his work and accomplish his will in and through them. Because if we did that, not only would we be the human means to bring God's work into someone's life, someone else would be the human means to bring God's work into our lives. Because everybody would be prayed for. Right before our Christmas services, I received another text from my daughter Ashton. This is what she said. She was praying for our church. Because remember, these are prayers that Paul prayed for the church at Philippi. Her prayer was this: Lord God, thank you for your son. Thank you for loving the world so much that you gave your only son so we could all have new life and freedom and hope in Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you are Emmanuel, God with us. God, you are with us and for us. God, bless us, protect our pastors and directors, and give our staff strength and rest and peace and clarity and diligence in their work for the Lord. May we be united as one body and bound together under the name and authority of Jesus Christ. May Jesus be exalted in our church. May the gospel be proclaimed. May lives be transformed and changed forever. Save souls, Lord God. Anoint our services with the Holy Spirit. May your spirit be threaded and woven into every service. Fill up each staff member and volunteer. Help us remember Jesus in all that we do. Cast away any foothold or scheme of the devil. May your angels of protection cover each and every person who walks on Crosslines campus. Renew our hearts back to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let us remember our first love, the greatest love. Encourage and equip your people to do great works. And I pray this in the holy and precious name of Jesus. That's a prayer for spiritual outcomes. That's the kind of prayer that Paul prayed for the Philippians. That's the kind of prayer we need to be praying for others. As we continue in our worship service, our worship team's going to be leading us in some songs, but it's an invitation for everyone here. If you want to pray for someone, and maybe it's someone here in this church, maybe it's someone who's serving as a missionary around the world, maybe it's a loved one outside the confines of Crossline, but if you want to pray for them, we're going to have prayer counselors that want to help you pray for others. It's an invitation for prayer. Could everyone just stand up and as we continue to worship? Our prayer counselors are going to be up at the front over in the corners here. And they're available to join with you as you pray God's word into people's lives. Because when we pray that way, Jesus changes lives. Jesus changes lives. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you for the work that you've already done in us. I thank you for the work that you're going to complete. I thank you for the people that we're going to be praying for this morning and how you're going to change their lives because of our prayers. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.